listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 10, Episode 23 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners this season is Bar One Betting. Gary, we've got some very serious topics to discuss at the top of the show. No more so, I should say, than John Russell's appointment at Shelburne today. But there's only one place really to start, and that is your trip to Turner's Cross last Friday.
Yo.
We've had a lot of goodwill messages into the podcast Twitter. Lots of people absolutely delighted for you. Everyone heard last week that you were heading down there, maybe solo, but it was nice to see the Longford Town trebled their away attendance from last time, going from 2 to 6, I think it was, on Friday. But the 6 brave souls that made the trip down there, well rewarded in the end. You must have had a brilliant night.
Oh, absolutely did, yeah. Like, I will say, I think you can confirm this. I was buzzing all week for it.
You are.
I had a great feeling the whole week, and I took the half day off and went down good and early. Great trip down. And you actually made a good point as well. You know, the sun is shining on top of that. You know, it's not pissing on the way down, which obviously makes the journey a bit shorter. But I spun down Friday afternoon into the stadium. Great start for the town. Penalty after a few minutes. So they got away with a penalty early on. Bit of a handball situation in there. But I think the league goes long for town about maybe 10 penalties this year. So good to pay one back at our end. And then bit of a mistake from the town in the clearance. I think it was Killian Murphy that got the opener for Cork.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of trading punches. Like, that Longford Town were much the better team in the first half, and was kind of lamenting that, like, going into the first half, you know, level at the break. But Pharrell Manuel steps up and takes charge of a really poor back pass to Kelleher. I'll come on to him now in a minute. Slots it away beyond like two or three defenders and the keeper. Longford Town win 2-1 up, and then you could really see Cork had, they were you know, played off the park in the first half, really. They come out in the second half with far more cop on, let's say. They have a few chances. They have a goal correctly called offside. It was a header from a corner. That was a warning for Longford Town. They heeded it quite well. Fitzpatrick had a really great strike from the edge of the box, which was a very well taken goal right into the top corner. And I was actually thinking about him. I think he was taken off a half time in Longford, if you remember. He was absolutely shocking that day. So I wasn't like overly concerned with him, but he does have that in the locker. So fair play to him for that. And then the third goal for Cork. Good defending initially, and then they just cut Longford Town, just poke it out from near the goal line, and then it smashed in, and Cork got 3-2 up. But Longford Town really hung in there, kind of took the game back to Cork. Did create a few chances. Adam Musso had to come on. I think that was his first time in playing for Cork. Yeah, Brian had to go off. I'm not really sure what happened there. He did have to try and ref bailed him out once. He had a really bad clearance, and only after the bad clearance did the ref blow for a foul by Dean Williams. So ref kind of did Brian a favour there. But then, yeah, Longford Town keep plugging away. I created a few chances, a couple of saves from Odomuso, as I said. And then Andy Parishiv with his first of two fantastic assists in the second half, chips the ball over the top into Dara Murta, and he smashes it into the bottom corner on the volley from, you know, maybe a 30-yard, 40-yard pass right into the bottom corner. Leaves Adebuso at a standstill, and Offer Town don't lie down. They keep going at it. They start again, and they're duly rewarded by substitute Stephen Ogbezia smashing it into the corner. Another great pass by Andy Parishiv. So, yeah, full deserving of the points, I thought. It was such a strong performance. And what was a real difficult patch for Longford Town, you know, home TCD, they do get 3 points against them and then do really well down in Cork, to probably their first win down there. And they got to 10 or 12 years, I'd say, probably was that game at the end of 2015, was it?
Yeah, I was there for the last one, 2015. So while I was disappointed to have missed out the other night, at least I have seen the town win in Turner's Cross. So there was quite a few younger fans there the other night, so it's nice for them to see the town winning in a place like Turner's Cross, because it is such a great stadium to go down to and watch a game, but usually you come away with defeat. I've been down there for, I think, maybe a 6-0 loss before during Tony Cousins' time, and I don't think any of the players or anyone came over and acknowledged us at the end, the three of us that was there or something. So that was a bruising one that night. But
you were at the one in 2022 as well, where we go 2-1 up or something like that.
Yeah, Dylan Barnett scored an unbelievable goal, and I think Cork got like a couple of very late ones, and again, I suppose,
and Offaly had like two major injuries in that game as well, if you remember.
I don't know if that was the same one. I was there when Darren Craven done his ACL, but I think I remember being in the actual away end, whereas when the night Barnett scored, I was up in the press box looking down.
So
I've had quite a few trips down there, but they usually do end in heartbreak. So no, I was delighted for the travelling supporters the other night.
Yeah, no, it was sensational. But like the players were fully deserving of it. They were outworked Cork to a large degree. I thought Kelleher was, for Cork, one of the worst defenders I've ever seen in the flesh. Even if you look, I don't know if he's injured, but like the man can't run.
He's very ungamely looking. Even I wasn't impressed with him when he came in last season. Okay, he's a bit of a threat in the air, but on the ball and everything, I wasn't impressed with him last season. So I wouldn't be a fan either.
Yeah, like even if you look when for Emmanuel, like it's a real poor back pass to him, but like, and he's caught kind of right at the apex of the ball, and for Emmanuel coming into him, and he doesn't even, he looks injured, he looks like what I imagine, like a deer like that got a bullet, you know, but is still alive. Do you know what I mean? He's like, you know, just can't run that quickly, and yeah, he couldn't make it back to block Obezia's shot for the winner. He couldn't make it back for Farrell's goal as either. So yeah, disappointing from him.
So it feeds a bit into what we've been discussing with Cork. They have that league long wrapped up, and I kind of hinted, even though I went for a Cork win, I think I went for a 1-0 win in the predictions league last week. I did say that, you know, this is a team that's 15 points clear. Longford Town, with their six fans, are coming down. They're not going to be overly up for it. They've got Rovers in the Cup the week after. That there could be some complacency there. And that's exactly what happened, because you look at the manner of the goals Cork gave away, particularly that one, that the back pass that let Stephen Ogbezi in. Or was it Farrell Manuel? Sorry, yeah, let him in for the goal. Like that's just absolutely shocking defending. But after the game, I went on to some of the Cork socials, and a lot of their fans were just saying, like, you know, this team has absolutely zero chance of staying up next season.
That was exactly it. Like, but if you watch the game back, which I already have done,
how many times?
just the once on Saturday, I did drag myself up. I was home. I think we were home near 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. Well, there's no issue with that, obviously, but I think this is definitely more Longford Town were outplayed Cork, and like there was loads of like really nice passing that, like, it seemed like that Cork didn't like hear of. There was one where Farrell Manuel just shot the ball over the bar from just at the edge of the box, but I think like Darren Murtha just like the little back heel, and he totally like bamboozled like three Cork defenders. And Jake Hawk had two. His first cross across the box was blocked, and he got another one and he passed it to the edge of the box for Pharrell to shoot just over the bar. Like, but it was like they didn't even know that you were allowed to do that. Like, they were totally bamboozled by one little back pass. It's like they'd never seen it before. Like, they just weren't, to a degree, they weren't up for it. But if you look back at the team, it was quite a strong team.
Yeah.
You know, there was no like, oh, we've Rovers in Tala. We want to make a good fist of it. We played them a couple of years ago in the FAI Cup final. You know, we don't want to, you know, because I think everybody fully expects Cork to get bet against Rovers on Saturday. Or is it Friday?
Rovers have their own problems, which we'll be talking about in a few minutes' time.
Yeah, no, they do. But I'm just saying, like, I thought Cork was so poor. And I was thinking of it, and I was talking to a fan of the pod, Declan, chatted at halftime. You know, because we were talking before about, like, what are Cork doing to stay in the division next in the Premier Division next year? And nothing looks to be the answer to that question. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, understand. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, they're going to have to do a lot of hard work in the off season to get the players in, because they're really lacking across the pitch.
Yeah. Come here, we had a few listeners inquiring. As I said, there was some goodwill messages for you. Everyone was delighted to see you get the result down there. Everyone was wondering, did you celebrate with a kebab?
I absolutely did. I went to Spice Roof again. I couldn't remember the name of them, so like I had to like search on the map. I remember the road I was on to get it. So I was like going around on the map like an eagle for like a few minutes. I didn't get there till like I was chatting a few boys after the game and stuff like that, but I didn't get there till about 11 or something like that. But got the kebab. It was sensational. Now, it was like, it wasn't like the hot, like the kebab with like the most heat in it, but Jesus Christ, it was like your man cremated it temperature wise. Like, it was. And it was a hot evening and everything like that, but I was in the car. I was like, "Jesus, I need to turn on this car, get the AC going, because I'm absolutely sweating. It was so hot." But no, it was lovely. Really nice munch. Get that in the car. Then I went up the road. I think it got as far as Fort Moy, and I was like, "I need nearly a shower here." I was just kebab everywhere. Like, I had to do a job in the car then on Saturday as well. But well worth it. Highly recommend Spice Route. Not the most welcome in the places.
Oh, really?
Like, honestly, it's like...
They were a bit upset about the result, were they?
No. The lads are fine. But honestly, it looks like a kebab shop that you'd see in a prison.
They have like, kebab shops in prison. Well, they have Netflix and everything else.
They do have kebab shops in Irish prisons. They're like holiday camps. But... Sound fellas, yeah, gave it out to me there. Paid via Revolut, no problem.
Wonder if we have any listeners from prison. How are you, lads?
I don't know. How are you, lads? Yeah, I hope you're getting on well. Should probably watch as much football as we do.
Just give us a kebab review.
yeah. So yeah, look, great evening. Obviously, a win makes it all worth it. But I think even if Town hadn't won that game, I think they've really shown in that performance that they're well capable of being comfortable in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they're into fourth now, which is a brilliant achievement, but they need to keep on going. It doesn't matter if they finish second, third, fourth or fifth, as long as they're in that top five at the end of the season. It's a great achievement for the town. But yeah, no, brilliant result for them there.
And the last point on that result, that's two results that I think, well, I believe Longford Town were capable of all year, but they had that really difficult game down in Kerry a few weeks ago. And they've really turned it around. Like, they've been full value for the last two wins. There's no question about it. And I think, I hope the player, like, maybe there was a bit of a lack of belief in the players that they weren't able to do that, maybe.
And they've got a nice cup draw now at home on Saturday.
You know, how bad is that? Do you know what I mean? You bet second, you bet first, and I know it's you know, non-league opposition now on Saturday for Longford Town, but like, you know, you're still winning.
Yeah,
hopefully Longford Town do win on Saturday, and nothing's taken for granted. But like, you have to, you know, stuff can be done, stuff can be achieved. I think the players, hopefully they, you know, take that belief into their souls and drive on for the rest of the season because they're well capable of it.
Right, last little thing, but that took a lot longer than I should have known better than to open the show by asking you about a long for time.
No, that's our fault. That's your fault. Yeah. You're supposed to run this pod.
Last little thing, our little World Cup recap we've been doing over the last number of weeks. Quarterfinals, not quite as exciting as the last 32 and last 16 matches. I felt moments of drama, but overall, quality-wise, I didn't think fantastic. Semi-finals, we should get two of the greatest semi-finals of all time because this is an incredible stat that I only heard the other day. This is the first time in World Cup history that the top four ranked teams have all got to the semi-finals. So you couldn't have asked for a better semi-final setup, really. France against Spain, England against Argentina. But I wonder if we're going to get very evenly matched semi-finals and they end up being a bit cagey and where we need extra time and maybe penalties in one or two of the semi-finals. In a short word, Gary.
Oh, sure.
Sunday, New Jersey. Who's going to be there for the final? And by the time people are tuning into the next Between the Stripes next week, who's going to be the champions of the world?
France are going to be champions of the world.
And who are they going to have beaten in the final?
England.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Yeah, I just think, although Spain have kind of gone quietly through it to a degree, I just think France have that. They have so many match winners on the pitch.
Way too many, yeah.
Obviously that'll save the rest of the world in the final on Sunday. I think for England, you know, the game the other night, kind of hard to know, you know, was Haaland sick or had a pain in his hole or pain in his leg or what was wrong with him? Yeah, it was just, look, it could have been a right fairy tale for Norway to get into the semi-final of the World Cup.
They should have won it in the 90 minutes Norway, but once extra time came, the legs just they're totally gassing. Went, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is disappointing. But look, it was a good game. It was an enjoyable game, especially that open goal. I know, I wasn't overly concerned. Like, Bellingham was sensational, obviously.
He was, yeah. The heat killed it. There was no tempo. It was like a walking football match at times.
Look, so it's always going to be... You're going to have to deal with the factors like that all the time. But look, I thought it was okay. Then I think you're concerned about Argentina. And I think I am as well.
Concerned about them not doing anything against England.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that they look like a team that's on their last legs. Very lucky not to be brought to penalties by Cape Verde. They were out on their feet at the end of that. Very lucky not to go to Egypt and not fantastic against a poor Switzerland team. And you know what? Switzerland were on top when Embolo got himself stupidly sent off one of the dumbest red cards of all time.
What was it actually a red card or a second yellow or whatever?
Yeah, did you see it? No.
I saw him throw himself to the ground, but the one thing that this was on Friday night, so I was watching much more important football. I thought the issue was that the ref went to VAR to see the dive, did he?
He was told to, yeah, by VAR. He had given a free kick to Argentina and I think he might have booked the Argentina player. I can't remember, but then VAR told him, you need to look at this. And when he looked at it, he rescinded the yellow and the free and he gave a yellow card for simulation, which was right because he throws his leg across the Argentina player, hits the day. It was crazy. When you're on a yellow card to do that in the age of VAR as well was madness.
Yeah, well, there you go. You get your medicine. Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think you know, Argentina will have to do some of the real dark arts here.
I think they're going to have to turn it into a war against England if they want to beat them.
Mm. I heard a crazy stat in the pub the other night. How true this is, I don't know. Your man was absolutely out of his mind. That said it, but I think England have like a yellow card for every seventh foul. And Argentina have a yellow card for like one in every 23 fouls they make, which does kind of line up to like this bit of a conspiracy theory that's coming around about, you know, Argentina getting a great go of it. And I haven't watched all of Argentina's games, but like they have been lucky at times. Should Messi have been sent off in the first game?
I've seen the clip. I didn't see it in real time, so I'm not really sure. But
yeah, but as you said, we have VAR. I know you want to shag Messi and everything, but like, that's still a red card. Do you know what I mean? Like,
are Argentina that bit cuter? You know, as you said, the dark arts, how to make a foul, not look a foul, you know, etc. I don't know.
I don't think they're, you know, 14 or 15 times better at the next team to not get your yellow cards and stuff like that. But, you know, anyway, look, it doesn't really make a bag of difference.
As long as England are stopped, we're happy.
Well, that's it.
Sorry to any of our English.
Surely Infantino can get that done for us. You know, he's been able to get the rest of it sorted out. So he'll be able to, between him and Trump and the rest of them, be able to sort out England losing at one point. So, but yeah, I will say, like they are playing extremely well, though, aren't they? England.
I don't know what I agree with that. No, I didn't. I wasn't impressed with them against Norway. I haven't been impressed with them in the whole tournament, but just they're.
But they're getting it, that's what knockout football is. That's what it is.
And that was my fear with Tuchel, like that he's built a proper tournament squad, and I wonder when they get to the final against France, will they
the togs?
Yeah, I just think they'll be playing a much better team than them. So,
yeah, I think probably that's the one thing. Like, who have they played?
Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move into domestic matters, as they used to say on the radio all them years ago. The big news today: John Russell, new Shelburne manager. Give me your thoughts.
I'm really shocked with that, to be quite honest. I didn't really. Wasn't it reported yesterday that talks were going on?
I got word Friday that this was on the cards, and it took me a couple of days to kind of get a bit of concrete confirmation on it. So I did report it, I think, yesterday on the BTS account that this was going to happen. But I think then the Irish Examiner.
Did you think it was bollocks, did you?
No, I just had to go and chase up a few things on it. Always double check your sources, etc. But the time I got it out, I think the Examiner or someone had it out. So I was beaten to the punch, but I got a bit of word Friday this was on the cards. So I'm not as surprised as you, but if I hadn't, I suppose, got the inside info there, then maybe I would be that bit more surprised. I think I said on the pod a couple of weeks ago, you know, if Shelburne were looking to appoint internally from within the league, that the top candidate for me was Kevin Doherty. Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised. I'm not sure whether what was there. I don't know, was there ever an approach to Drogheda, etc. Shelburne had to pay compensation to Sligo. So you'd imagine if they wanted Doherty, they could have paid compensation there. Maybe his contract is more ironclad or something. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't be overly enamoured with the appointment, to be honest.
No, nor me. Doesn't make a huge pile of sense in my head. Excuse me.
Does the European experience, was maybe that what you, was that the, that's the one thing that maybe shaded it for him over Doherty? Great run in Europe then a few years ago, beating Motherwell and Bala.
Motherwell and Bala Town, was it?
Well, they beat Bala and then they beat Motherwell, but it was I think he's the first Sligo manager, the only Sligo manager to have got the club through two rounds of European football.
Yeah, but also they played nobody, like.
They beat Motherwell, home and away.
Yeah, I suppose.
Fifth in his first season, but then they've been eighth, sixth, and seventh in the last few seasons, and bottom at the moment.
Yeah, I think, like, look, you have to take it into the context of what's available to him, you know, resource wise, which is not much comparison to other teams. And he, you know, probably the main goal is to stay in the division every year, and he has done that up to now. Is he leaving them at the right wrong time? They're probably in one of their worser positions so far. It is a bit of a... but look, he's given a lot to Sligo Rovers, hasn't he? Maybe he deserves a goal.
It's a two-way street, because Sligo have been patient with him as well. The one thing, this is going to be an entirely different beast for him walking into Talca Park than walking into the Showgrounds. Obviously, they're two entirely differently set up clubs. You've got a fan-owned model, where I suppose there is that bit more understanding of resources and losing players, etc. And you're going into Shelburne, who are working now with this analytics crowd to identify players. And, you know, recently they signed that young lad, Casey, from the North for triple figure sum. So it's an entirely different setup. I often reference it. I was there in Drogheda the night they lost 7-0. He's had a couple of results like that during his time at Sligo. You will not get away with results like that at Shelburne.
Oh, no. Well, there's no doubt about it. Like you know, he's... It was previous goodwill that he got away with those results at Sligo. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's... you know, shit happens when you're a club town there. You're going to lose games like that. It's going to be ups and downs, ins and outs all the time. I don't think a result like that... It would be necessarily fatal for...
Oh, it definitely. At Shells, if it ever happened.
Oh, no, at Shells, it would be.
I'm not saying necessarily a 7-0, but any sort of embarrassing result like that. I mean, Joey O'Brien, when he got the sack, I know people were kind of making light of it. He was saying in his post-match interview, oh, well, that's our first defeat in 10 or something. I think 7 of them games were draws, but they were on a bit of an unbeaten run and he still lost the job. That just won't be... Results like that wouldn't be tolerated at Shelburne, so it's going to be an entirely different environment for him. They've got Europe coming up. If he could make it, like Joey went in there last season and instantly had an impact in Europe, so that always wins you a few brownie points. I suppose the goal now is to try and get back into Europe. And Dundalk look like, we'll get to Dundalk shortly. I was at the Louth Derby Friday. Dundalk look like they're running out of a bit of steam. Shells are only a point behind them, so expectation now very much will be to finish in the top four, have a crack at Europe, maybe a cup run. So there's plenty of opportunities for John Russell to do well in his first season at Shelburne. That's one thing I would say.
Yeah, there is. Look, and there probably won't be a bag expected of him. Like, finishing fourth would be a success at this point, probably, right?
Mm.
So, like, just get ahead of Dundalk. I don't think the expectation would be, you know, make a late charge for the title or anything like that. I don't think that's on the cards, but he'll have you know, it's probably, you know, if they were looking at John Russell before or considering him, it's a great time to get him in. There isn't a huge amount of expectation. He has a few months of league football to get a hold or an idea of what's going on, both player wise and at the club. He'll have time to bed in. He can.
And he's going in during a window as well.
Yeah, well, whatever about getting players right now, that's one thing. But, you know, is he going to take a lot of players in the off-season from Sligo and really, you know, if they go down, then yes, he'll probably take a couple of players from Sligo, lads that he trusts, lads that he has relied on. But if they stay up, he'll probably take them as well and put them into an off position. Who's going to come in for Sligo? Who's the
manager?
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything yet. I've been in the studio here all day, so I haven't really had a chance to follow the news too closely. Look, as we said recently, there's a lack of, I suppose, tried and trusted characters around the league at the moment. We don't seem to have that merry-go-round anymore that we used to have. So
yeah,
I suppose Sligo, they've had success of appointing overseas managers in the past. You think of Barraclough and Paul Cook. So I wonder if they might go down the UK route again.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
and they'll look at their relegation rivals Waterford and what Coughlin's achieved there. So I think the UK will be a potential
place to
ground.
Well, quick question for you. Is this fatal for Sligo?
There seems to be a bit of a 50-50 split online today. A lot of fans are like, no loss, good to get him out the building. And others are obviously saying, you know, he had a great time over here and thanks very much. But there is plenty of fans that are not too sorry to see him go.
Yeah.
I suppose what they need is to get someone in quickly. They can't afford to be kind of rudderless there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. No, that's 100% right. And look, they had a real unfortunate result the other night as well.
They've had a couple of them. You think of the Rovers game, they're ahead and they lose it.
Pats game.
And then Pats, where I was there, two goals in injury time, and then the Connacht Derby. Getting themselves back in it and then losing it with a wonder goal. But a player that was with them last season as well, Matty Wolfe, and didn't really do much for them. So, Jesus, it's been...
Was he with them last year? I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, it's been an awful couple of weeks for Sligo Rovers.
Jesus, yeah.
Especially with Watford improving so much.
I suppose from a personal point of view for John Russell, it is something completely different, and I suppose he couldn't really pass up the opportunity when it came to him. Do you know?
Oh, definitely not.
You have to take those. You know, it's never easy to leave a club that you have such an attachment with, but I suppose you have to look at the opportunity that has presented itself and the different things you'll be able to do.
He could have been out of a job next week. He's got a new long term contract now with Shelburne. So,
how long is that contract? You know, or is this just a multi year deal shite?
Yeah, multi year deal shite. So we don't know. But look, as you say, new Maroon, you have to look after yourself. It's a short career, even as a manager. One or two bad moves, and you're sitting on the sidelines. You're not getting back in. So you have to look after yourself. Yeah.
No one's answering no one's ringing you up on the phone.
No.
So.
Well, here's a name, actually. I suppose the one tried and tested character there is on the sideline sitting things out at the moment is Keith Long. Almost kept that loan up that time years ago when they were a dead cause in 2014.
14.
Almost kept them up, so.
That is... I think that's a fair... That'd be a great deal to get him in there. What would be wrong with that? As you know, he has... I know it didn't work out in Waterford in the end, but, like, he has the ability. Probably the only real manager that is available at the moment that you could look at.
I think so.
I'll probably announce Friday, by Friday.
Moving into other matters, European matters... Bad start to the summer, you'd have to say. Shamrock Rovers, 2-0 defeat in Malta against Floriana. Okay, Bows, well done to them. 2-0 winners against St. Joseph's, hopefully get the job done now. Second leg, they have to go to Gibraltar for that. And Derry City with a surprisingly good performance in Bulgaria against Sofia, going down by 3-2. So that's a live going to the Brandywell. Tickets sell them well as well, which is good to see, because there has been a bit of apathy, I suppose, at the Brandywell this season. Given
and the price of them.
Yeah, given their poor form, it's good to see people getting behind them and trying to push them over the line in the second leg. But it all started with Rovers on Tuesday. That is not a good start to the European summer.
No, it's not. It's really disappointing. Is this doable, do you think?
I still think it is.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Mr. Positive here. Yeah, look, if they can do it, like, because I think I said last week, you know, if they get through this... you know, that leaves many opportunities to get European group stage football of some description by the end of the year, right? So, you know, they go down a couple of... They've one rung to go down and then another go at something else. So if they can achieve that, you know, get through this tie, it would be... Put the odds on, I think, to get group stage football come the end of the year. So, or come September, whenever it starts. So if they could get that... Pull it out of the fire. Really surprised with the result. I didn't think they would go down like that, but was your man sent off?
Healy got two yellows in the space of a minute. Yeah, for a player of his, you know, this is a lad that's just been in an Irish international squad, for him to do something like that, it's bordering on unforgivable.
It is, yeah. I think that's obviously doesn't help it, and you know, he's not around for this game now. On when is that game? Wednesday?
It's tomorrow night.
Tuesday. Oh, it's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not around for that. But look, I think I go back to it a couple of times. Like, you know, there's a very, very, very deep well of experience of European competition in Shamrock Rovers. They have faced adversity before, but I think they're fully capable of pulling out of the fire. They can. They just need to go hard at it tomorrow night and try and get the job done as best they can.
Yeah, and their home record in Europe is very strong. Even you think of the likes of Milan coming there down the years and getting it difficult. So that's what I'd be clinging on to. I think they might do 2-0 in 90, and then it's kind of in the football and it's in the lap of the football and gods what happens in extra time and penalties. But I do think they'll take it deep into the night tomorrow in Tala.
Hopefully so. Is Pico at this game? Do you know? Or?
I wouldn't think so.
Oh, I think the League of Ireland social media with the love letters, the daily love letters to Shamrock Rovers had something up there I think he was back training today, but I don't know if that.
Also, maybe he will. I'm not sure.
Hold on.
If you weren't in the squad for the first leg, can you be in it for the second leg? I'm not sure.
I think you can. Sure. Players have signed between.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that's a thing.
We shall see. We shall see. As for Bose, yeah, good to see them getting the job done as expected. Could be a tricky second leg in the heat out there and everything. So want to just be careful. And as for Derry, it is still alive, as we said. So look, let's not give up on it yet. But if Rovers can't turn it around, then it's a long, long way to group stage football. So
it certainly is. Like, I think, I think Bose, should be obviously wary about a trip like that. But they've set themselves up quite well to get through the tie. Do you give Derry a shout at all?
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Well, they're at home. Gonna have a good crowd behind them by the looks of things. We seen that Sofia team a few years ago. They're no great shakes. They're
okay.
They like the dark arts themselves, a bit like Argentina, so they might just have that bit of cuteness, but
hopefully they can.
Some Derry fans are talking about going out there and losing 6-0, so if they can give it a good old rattle, then I think that'll keep most people happy. We were looking at Derry, it's kind of been a bonus, really.
Anything from them, yeah. I was about to say, like, if they could turn it around, it'd really start putting a bit of a shine on their shite season, so anything positive would be great. When is that game? Thursday?
Yeah.
Very good.
Right, back into domestic matters. There was only three games over the course of the weekend. I was at the Louth Derby, so we'll start there. That was Dundalk against Drogheda. And first half, Dundalk were well on top without being fantastic, deservingly taking the lead, though. And I text you at halftime and I said to you, Gaz, mark my words now, Drogheda will end up being relegated. Didn't I?
I can't remember. I was delirious down in Turner's Cross.
Because I had been saying for weeks and weeks on the pod how worried I was about Drogheda's form and everything. And the first half, they were awful. Now, when I spoke to Kevin Doherty after, he kind of said, we weren't terrible in the first half, but they just offered nothing. Aside from set-piece threat, they offered absolutely nothing. Couldn't string a pass together. No ambition about them. Just a real turgid performance, I thought, first half. But then in the second half, I don't know what happened to Dundalk. The only thing kind of put it to Kilduff after the game. He wasn't in full agreement. It was like 26 degrees at kickoff. And obviously on that Astro, it's bouncing up off it. It's very, very hot. Dundalk went very hard, very early, like really good in the press. A. Durbin was everywhere. He's having a great season for Dundalk. So many tackles and bits of breaking up play from Durbin. They were running a draw and making life difficult for them. And I just wonder, I did think to myself when it was only 1-0 at halftime, second half, I wonder if they might get a bit leggy. They came out at the start of the second half, within kind of 5-6 minutes of a starting, I said to myself, I don't like the way this is going for Dundalk. They're getting very, very sloppy here. And that sloppiness just continued and grew as the half went on. And Drogheda got an equaliser through a Shane Farrell free kick. Now, I didn't think it was a free, and I'll get to the referee, Rob Harvey, in a second, but Farrell scored. I thought the keeper maybe could have done better. Maybe he might have slipped, though, someone said to me afterwards, so whatever. And then after that, they were the team that were on top. They got their second goal, poorly defended enough from Dundalk, but a good strike from Farrell again. And they had chances to make it 3-4, maybe even 5 after that with Dundalk going to a back three and chucking caution to the wind, and Drogheda caught them on the break a few times. So they were definitely the deserving winners at the end, but it was such a poor second half performance from Dundalk. Even the subs they brought on, McDade, Trevor Clark, who's obviously way off of fitness-wise at the minute. They made another change as well, but the players they brought on had absolutely no impact on the game. So just probably the worst performance I've seen from Dundalk in that second half under Kieran Kilduff. Now, they have done that a couple of times this season. I was at the game at home to Bose as well, where they're a better team first half and very poor in the second half. Now, Cornwall got sent off that night, so you can probably put it down to that, but they were just so, so sloppy in that second half in Oriel on Friday.
And did they just run out of gas, do you think, from the first half?
There was definitely an element of that. They looked very, very leggy at times in the second half, but they couldn't string a pass together. Their touch was off. Just everything was all over the place. So no Kenny, obviously. Ruby was brilliant in the first half, unplayable, took his goal really well. Bit of fortune to it, the way it fell to him, but he tucked it away. And then second half, never really got into it at all. So I just look at Dundalk now, and I'd be very worried about them energy-wise. The way they play, the players that they've lost in Kenny. Now, speaking to Kilduff the other day, they're confident they can keep a Ruby, but I look at some of the players they've got. There's some older players like Cornwall and Buckley. I just wonder if a very good first half of the season, if it's going to peter out in the second half, they look like they could really do with some reinforcements now in the summer window.
And is there any talk of that, of anything like that in that department? Well,
Kilduff said he wants to get players in, but there's no real indication. Look, we've already seen one Clark come in. We spoke about it last week. They're having to go for players that have maybe a patchy injury record, haven't played a lot of football lately. So that's the market they're shopping. It takes time for them players to get up to speed. Russell's gone into Shelburne. If they get a bounce, next thing, Shells are 4 or 5 points ahead and the Dock are sliding down the table.
Yeah, that's true. It is a very difficult time. What about a Ruby?
Yeah, they're confident they can keep him.
That would be a bit of a coup in itself, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
And I think even like mentally as well, it'd be great if they could hold on.
Well, as I said, he got leggy himself second half, and then you've no Kenny, you've no McDade. They definitely need to get a striker in this window to help a Ruby.
Yeah,
hopefully help Ruby and not replace him.
Yeah, yeah. But like that's just not just that handy done. Like as you know,
no.
That's the problem.
Yeah, huge result for Drogheda though. Absolutely massive first win in 9. So massive win for them, particularly with Waterford dropping points in the end against Pats. Sligo being beaten on the Saturday. It was a really, really good weekend for Drogheda. Further couple of things I'll add. Obviously, there's no away fans. Now, credit to Dundalk. Very clever. They put a schoolboy and schoolgirls team into the away end that were having their 50th year anniversary, and they brought a huge crowd with them. So that added a bit of colour to the away end. Otherwise, it would have been empty. But the game, it didn't have that same atmosphere, I have to say, without the away fans. So, look, hopefully...
That's a game that lives on the fans as well.
That's what it is, yeah. Yeah, like I've been at 2 or 3 of them this season now, and they're never that good of a game. It really is the atmosphere you come away remembering after. They're always quite scrappy, typical derby games. So, look, hopefully people involved have learned their lesson now, and that'll be the end of the nonsense. I wouldn't be so sure, but...
very hard. I will say, you know, if you're a fan of that bullshit, you know, causing havoc, to not have an outlet of it for what will be a year is fantastic. You know, hopefully it will dampen it down to a degree, because the fixture does need the away fans as well, because it's always been a great spectacle.
100%. Just on the ref, Rob Harvey, awful performance. That's 2 weeks in a row now. Dundalk have been involved in games where the referee has been terrible. Not to say they affected the result in either game, but we spoke about Aaron O'Dowd last week, spoke about Rob Harvey this week. Just such a poor performance from the referee on the night. I do want to try and balance that out by just saying two referees that we have spoken about this season that I've been very impressed with. Aaron Hunter is one, and the other one is Kevin O'Sullivan. I was really glad to see he's been given a European appointment there in the last week or so. I'm not sure if he did a game last week or whether it's upcoming that game, but he's got a European appointment. I think he deserves that, because I think O'Sullivan's been one of the better referees in the league this season.
Yeah, don't think we've ever had to... I think like from memory, it's always easier to go, have I ever talked about that fella this season or not? So, great to see.
I do remember giving him a bit of bashing a couple of seasons ago in the first division after game. I probably went a bit over the top. So I apologize for that. It was probably a game when against Longford or whatever. But I do remember seeing him. First time I kind of came across him was Longford Athlone in a derby. Now, he did get a decision wrong that night, I think. But overall, I was just impressed with the way he managed the game. And from speaking to a couple of kind of managers and coaches and players around the league, that's one thing they've said about Kevin O'Sullivan and Hunter, that they're very good to speak to and how they deal and interact with the players. And that's something we've kind of picked up on the pod here. So there are a couple of good refs out there. Just to keep it on the ref subject at the moment, Waterford 1, Pats 1. Rob Hennessy doing this game. Missed a clear stamp by Sean Hoare. The fourth official was right in front of it. He missed it as well. He couldn't have been more than a matter of yards away. That was a really poor piece of officiating.
That was a really poor piece of officiating, but let's also talk about the...
Fourth official was Mark Lynch, I think, for that game.
Right. What is Sean Hoare doing? You know, whatever about the refs not seeing it, right? That's one thing. But, like, what in the name of Jesus is Sean Hoare doing?
Sorry, Graham Kelly was the fourth official. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing there.
You know, an experienced player like that, I've described him before. I don't know what he's doing, you know, so attached to St. Pat's, never mind playing games at all. Don't think he's next or near it and hasn't been in years. But then, like, to be doing stuff like that is just disgraceful. He should be ashamed of himself.
There was another controversial incident in that game as well. There was a penalty that was... I got a tweet flashed up on my phone that said penalty overturned. And I was like, did I miss the introduction of VAR? But then I looked at the clip and in fairness to the lino, he called Hennessy over and he tells him, look, that's a dive. That's not a penalty.
Who dived there?
It was... this would have been a penalty to Waterford.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm just trying to remember who it was, but... Hennessy gave the penalty and the lino called him over and said, look, that's a dive, it's not a penalty. So they got that right. I think it was the lad Volas, if I'm not wrong. Memory serves me.
All right, okay.
But credit Hennessy for he got the message from his lino. It would have been easy for him to stick to his guns and say, no, I'm the man in the middle here. But as a team there, they did get to the right decision. But as a team, they also missed the stamp from Sean Hoare. So it was a mixed night there at the RSC for the officials.
Yeah, well, look, we often say like that's what the point of the four, you know, the lot of them together, like, what are they at? They're supposed to come to get some of this shit done as a team. And they sometimes miss it. Basic stuff like that, like right in front of them. How was that not spotted by the fourth official? Like, what? I don't know. It's just not good enough.
And a Keane penalty in the 95th minute, rescuing a point for Pats. Again, it's hugely frustrating on a week where Rovers weren't playing that they couldn't apply the pressure at the top.
Yeah, well, that's something that we were afraid of all year. Something that we've mentioned a few times as well. Really disappointing that they weren't able to, you know, at least close the gap, like, mentally. I know, like, really on points, but, like, you know, well, Shamrock Rovers are Shamrock Rovers really worried? Genuinely?
I don't think so.
No. Like, they're not going, oh my God, they bet Waterford. No. Like, there's some of that stuff should have just been done automatically almost by St. Pat's, excuse me, and just didn't do it again. So I think it's going to be the story of the season, to be quite honest.
Yeah. The remaining game of the weekend was a thriller. It was Galway United, Sligo Rovers in the Connacht Derby. Ended up in John Russell's last game in charge. They were 2-0 down. They were a man down as well. And they got two goals in the space of, I think, 5 minutes from Keane Kavanagh, who's barely scored a goal all season, to make it 2-2. And then, as we said earlier, Matty Wolf goes down the other end and gets a second of the game. An absolutely sublime volley. Huge win for Galway. Pierce Stadium, just over 3,000. I was expecting kind of 5,000 plus for this. Maybe that's me way overestimating things. I know there's an awful lot going on. Galway obviously are in an All-Ireland Hurling final this weekend. World Cup is on. Wimbledon was on. There's a lot on. And arts festivals and everything else in Galway.
Yeah.
But I would have expected I thought there might have been a massive 300-500 away support. Didn't seem to be the case. Just don't know. Galway fans themselves can let us know. Are they fantastic on the PR marketing side of things? Like, even Conor McCormick, it was announced today he's retiring. Now, maybe that was announced weeks ago and I missed it, but the first place I seen it was on the league socials, and I checked Galway socials and there didn't seem to be a whole pile up there. Now, again, maybe it's kind of well known within the Galway fan base, but some Galway fans have been onto us at times saying, you know, that they are a bit behind in certain elements of that. So I thought this would have been a bigger crowd, but look, maybe I'm being harsh.
I think there's just a lot of shit on right now. Like, there was only 1,700 there in Turner's Cross the other night. Like, I know Longford Town aren't the biggest attraction But like, you know, that is a good, you know, a lot of people that weren't there. So I think that might be a bit harsh. As you said, there's just a lot of stuff on. Like, even people were bitching and moaning that Declan McBennett wasn't showing one of the games, European games last week. Was that right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, you are dead right, man. The Jesus World Cup is on. It's on all the time. There's nothing but football on the telly right now. You know, I don't know what he said. I only saw the headline, but I was like, yeah, you're right. You can't justify another football match on the television. Really and truly, I don't think that would have been a runner, to be quite honest. So, yeah, as you said, lots of stuff on. People away, weather is great. People go far away, go down the country, go up this place, that place, and the other place. I don't think it's any big deal, to be quite honest.
Right, into the first division. If I did mention it already, by the way, if you want to hear those post-match interviews with Kevin Doherty and Kieran Kilduff from Friday night after the Louth Derby, you get them on the BTS Members Club. Go to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership. Join the Members Club. You'll get all of our exclusive League of Ireland content there. But into the first division, Wexford 2, Kerry 2. Athlone Town, their first game since Ian Ryan departed. They were 2-0 winners against Cove Ramblers. Come back to that one in a second. Bray Wanderers 6, UCD 0. Bonkers bloody league this. We already talked about Cork Longford, 4-3 to the town. And Treaty United 1-0 winners in Ballybuffet against Finn Harps. I think Treaty went into that game as the team with the worst away record in the entire division. So some crazy results. Where do you want to start with all those?
I think we kind of have to start with Athlone, just considering they got rid of their manager.
I wanted to bring up a point here, actually. And the interim manager's name has escaped my mind. Can you bail me out?
Connor Barry.
Connor Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last week, after that news broke, I was doing the League of Ireland Lowdown podcast with Shane Keegan. And Shane actually had Connor at Galway as a player. Mm-hmm. And I thought what he said to me was very, very interesting on the show. He said that Connor Barry was one of those lads you always knew was going to go into coaching or management. And when I heard him say that, I thought...
He was a shy player.
He was a good player. He was a tasty little player. Yeah. I said that on the pod last week. I didn't know this about his kind of character, that he was always kind of destined for this. And when I heard him saying that, I just thought to myself, I wonder if Barry now, a couple of decent results, if he could be a candidate for that job. Now, from what I understand, they have been in contact with a couple of assistants in the Premier Division. I think everyone's aware that it's been reported that Saki O'Connor at Pats is on their shortlist. There's other First Division assistants I'm aware of as well that they've made contact with, but I think O'Connor seems to be the man that they're after. I wonder just if Connor Barry does well, and that's a great start there, beating Cove, if he might be a candidate for that job.
Yeah, I think you have to throw your hat into the ring. And you have to do that, you have to win some games, and particularly with the run of games that Athlone have had and the results that they've had, that obviously led to the departure of Ian Ryan. If he can get some type of tune out of the players that Ian Ryan had, like, do you know what I mean? They're not going to bring in 5 or 6 lads in the window.
No.
So, you know, if he can show that he can get results out of the team, then you have to, yeah, he certainly has to be considered. If he's, you know, he could be an up and coming coach that could make a sight of a difference for Athlone, and this is his opportunity. So, yeah, look, it could be a bit of a head scratch for Athlone, really. You know, it's not often that you sack a manager and you have to make a couple of decisions. Like, would it be a good idea to give Connor Barry a chance at this point? Like, the season's largely over, isn't it? So, would it be just as good of an idea to just give the job to Conor Barry if he goes on a little run now.
6 points outside the playoffs. Wouldn't say the season's over. We've seen it before. Managers have gone in and have lifted a team up a table. But I think it could be worth just waiting a couple of weeks there, see how he gets on. If he does well, give it to him. I mean, there's so many young players in the first division now. Why not have a couple of young up-and-coming managers go in there and give it a crack?
Yeah, like look what Killer did. He went to manage the Athlone women's team.
Yeah.
Got the job with Dundalk. Got them promoted. They're comfortable in the, you know, there's no chance of relegation there. So, like, why would you, you know, you can't just write off these young coaches off. Because, it's been two, you know, poor enough years for Athlone, let's be honest about it. Like, could this be maybe a little bit of a renaissance job with a young coach at the helm? I'd be motioning to give him a shout, but...
Up and down season continues for Cove. Elsewhere, that Bray result is madness, given how impressed I've been we've all been impressed with UCD this season. I don't know where that's come out of.
Have you looked back at any of these goals?
I didn't really see this game, no.
Some of the defending.
But again, they're... Before that game, and they might still be, I think they were the team with the second best defensive record. So I do not know where that result has come out of. It's worrying as well. UCD, last couple of seasons, they've fallen at the first hurdle in the playoffs against Bray. So it's worrying going into the playoffs, which UCD will definitely be in to be suffering a result like that.
Yeah, look, it is the summer. Like, I think... if you remember, was it 2019, Longford Town and UCD were kind of the top two teams in the first division. And after the break, Longford Town filled them in up
5-1. Yeah.
5-1. Even a former captain, Shane Elberty, scored like a 40-yard lob. Sensational day. But then UCD, you know, that was a blip.
It was, Longford fellow. I think Longford might have been within 4 points of top or something at that stage.
Yeah, that really...
I thought, oh, here we go. The Longford's going to get promoted and they fell away. What season was that?
2019.
So did they get in the playoffs? No? Town?
No.
No.
Don't think so.
I don't think so. No, I think you're right.
Yeah. So. But like UCD still went on and did extremely well. They got promoted that year. So like,
There you go.
It happens. The defending though was just absolutely tragic.
Well, look at the volume of goals scored in the first division this weekend. Probably does speak to the level of
it all.
And the level of defending.
But at the same time, level of striking. You know, there's a lot of lads doing a lot of good finishing here. You know, there was some really nice finishes in this Bray game. I think it was Akara got a really nice finish. Just ball popped into him, and he just side footed it home. Just.
A fella that played in the MLS,
Great, great result for Brett.
Wexford, you've had a lot to say about them recently. A 2-2 draw at home to Kerry. How do you view that?
I don't rate Wexford. I think they've been really lackluster all year. You know, some nice little players, but just don't get to put it all together too often, which has been unfortunately quite common this year. Some of the stuff is not lazy, but like everything's a bit lax some of the time. You know, giving away stupid balls. But yeah, just not fantastic. I can't remember who scored the opening goal though for Wexford. He just took it on, drove forward and absolutely drove it into the top corner. I think Harry Halwax was in goals for Kerry, and absolutely no Kerry man went near him in the process. He took the ball from his own half, just kept running straight. No one stepped up, no one stepped out. It was absolutely diabolical defending from Kerry. But to turn it around, they get it back to, I think, 2-1. They kept plugging away at it. And then I think in the, was it the, probably
94th minute,
ball chipped into the box. Kerry Keeper Havocs comes out and doesn't get there first, and the ball is headed over him, and that was that.
Yeah, it was Zach O'Sullivan that got that goal. He'd only just signed on loan from Waterford, but again, that's a 19-year-old they've signed on loan, so youthful player going in. We'll see what he can do. Caelum Harnett got their first goal, player that I'm a big fan of, although he probably hasn't had as good of a season this time around.
You do like blowing about him, all right, but probably hasn't featured as much for Wexford.
No wins in their last six now, Wexford. That's not right, is it? No, I am right, yeah. No win in their last six.
That's a lot of games to not peg in a win at least once. Like, where are they now on the table? Yeah, they're 28 points. But they'll be tipping in around playoffs come the end of the season, let's say.
And just on Treaty United, that's a good result for them. We've been talking about their improvement in the last while. Finn Harps, there just seems to be no positivity on the pitch. Like, in recent seasons, they're actually bottom now, Finn Harps.
Yeah, I was about to say it, yeah.
Treaty United off the bottom, so they've done well there to claw themselves off the bottom. Finn Harps, in the last couple of seasons, even when it's been tough going for them, there's been a bit of positivity about young players and stuff, but there doesn't seem to be anything happening for them. They probably need things to change off the pitch and inject a bit of energy into them on the pitch. Very, very difficult season for the folk at Harps.
Yeah, it is. Probably all really concentrating on what way that deal is going to go. Is that vote next week, or have they postponed it a bit longer?
Did I say last week they postponed it? Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, haven't heard if there was any more update as to when they're actually going to have that vote. I think you said last week they're allowing people more time to become members or membership or something like that. So, yeah, look, it's always difficult. But I suppose, like, you know, no one wants to finish bottom.
No.
And as bad of, would say, a bad a season Treaty have had, like, they have been turning it around a bit. It's a bit of a slow moving machine, but it has been turned around a good bit, and a really good result to get them off the bottom against Harps there on Friday.
Yeah. Right. Into the BTS Predictions League. Obviously, it's a cup weekend, so we're only going to do selected ties, but I will read out all of the FAI Cup fixtures coming up this weekend. This is the second round, so this is where the league clubs come into it. Shamrock Rovers play Cork City. These games are all Friday. Finn Harps play Bray. It's Pats against Wexford. I'm doing that one for LOI TV. Looking forward to that. Treaty take on UCD. Strathaday against Lucan. Waterford against Cove. Galway against Crumlin. Kerry against Shells. Athlone against Middleton. St. Mochtas against Dundalk. But that's in Oriel Park, that one. And then on Saturday, it's Bangor Celtic against College Corinthians. Douglas Hall against Castlebar. Celtic are old pals from last season. Baldoyle against Longford Town. That game's in Longford. Janesborough against Sligo Rovers, that one's going to kick off slightly earlier now. I think that the kickoff's been brought forward to I think 4:30, if I remember rightly, from what I tweeted earlier. Ringmahon Rangers against Bowes, not happening. We need to talk about that in a second, actually. That was due to be on the Sunday, and also Sunday.
Do we need to talk about that?
Derry City against Tolka Rovers. Hopefully Derry will be coming into that off the back of a great European result. Just before we go into the Predictions League, though, Ringmahon were given a 5-year ban from the FAI Cup last week, a 3-year ban from the Intermediate Cup, and they've been handed a fine of €5,000. And I think for one of the very rare occasions it happened, an announcement by the FAI, very warmly greeted across the board by League of Ireland supporters. They got this bang on, Gary.
Yeah, I think you said last week they should be banned for 5 years, and then the FAI came out and said, yeah, you're gone for 5 years.
Power to pod.
Power to pod.
direct line Davistown.
Look, it is the right decision. I probably let that go, or story pass me by to a degree. I don't know what they were thinking would happen.
I didn't think the FAI would have the bottle to do something like that. I thought it might be an old wishy-washy punishment. Now they will have the option to appeal, so I'm hoping they don't do a Shamrock Rovers behind closed doors job on it like they done that time when Rovers were supposed to be behind closed doors against UCD at the start of the season and they reeled it back. I hope they don't do that and, you know, water it down and suspended sentences and all the rest, which we love in this country. But no, stick to your guns. They got that bang on, 5-year ban. I was surprised maybe with the intermediate ban, because I think that'll actually hurt Ring Mahon a lot more. That's kind of their bread and butter, is that competition. But the 5-year...
Yeah, well, like you have to make it, you have to, you know, the pain has to be felt. You can't just, you know, it'd be like banning Longford Town from the Champions League for 10 years. You know, who gives a shit? Like, you know what I mean? It's you have to hit them where it hurts when it comes to a punishment like that. And I think that's fair enough. I don't think anybody disagrees with it. Probably people at Ring Mahon do. But that they put in for it. So good luck to them.
Yeah, definitely would agree. Right, we're going to do selected ties only here. We're generally just going to do the all-league ties for our predictions league this week. So we're going to do Athlone Cove, Bray UCD, Cork Law, their last week's games. I better update people on last week first. A bad week, actually, across the board. You've been in great form. It was a bad week from us, but somehow you still ended up on top. And Carol, who does the scoring for us, he said to me, he had a good laugh because Gary still came out on top. He said, 14 weeks he's been the top scorer. 3 weeks he's been a joint top scorer. Ain't a bad return out of 22 weeks. So on week 22, you were top with just 4 points. The listeners, your pal Ryan played a Bulls fan. He got 3 and I got a paltry 2 points. So the league table is this. You're on 147. Listeners on 111. I'm on 98. Absolutely embarrassing stuff. This week, I'm going to pick a player here right now to join us. And I am going to go with Scott Buckley, who is a big Cork City fan. So bad Friday night for Scott. But let's see if he can get some redemption here in the predictions league. And we'll start with his team, Cork City. They go to Talla to take on Shamrock Rovers. Scott is going for a 4-2 win to the Hoops, but he does say, I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Look, Cork are running away with the title in the first division, as we all know. I was moderately disappointed with Cork because they had like such a big game to look forward to in Talla next week. Do you know what I mean? But again, Longford Town were worthy winners. So the other concern I'd have would be their defence. And I don't know if Conor Brann was taken off at halftime because he was injured.
He was injured, yeah. I think I read somewhere it was a thigh injury or something along those lines.
Right, okay. He did sprawl himself out to try and cover off a bad back pass that was going out for a corner, and the ref bailed Cork City out at that moment. But if he is injured, you know, Adamuso's first start first appearance for Cork wasn't fantastic. Did make a couple of saves, but he did let two go by him at the same time. I'm going to say 3-1 to the Hoops.
Cork City, as you said, it was a fairly strong team. I think the only one they were missing was Shawnee Maguire, but Keaton and Pongo, Murphy all played. I'd like to think they raised their performance levels for this. It's a big occasion for them. Shamrock Rovers coming off the back of Europe, and no matter what happens, it's going to be a long night for them Tuesday. They're either going to, you know, are they going to win 3-0? Probably unlikely. They might win 2, extra time, penalties. Even if they did win, say, I don't know, 4-1 or something, it's probably going to be a fairly emotional night. There's going to be a lot of back and forth in it. So that might take a bit out of them. I think it'll be a typical, what we saw last season in Talla when a first division team went up there, Longford. Rovers were in a bit of trouble. 5 subs come on, swing the game. I'll go 2-1 Shamrock Rovers.
And
Scott, as I said, going 4-2 to Shamrock Rovers.
Fair enough.
Finn Harps against Bray. But Harps needs something, a cup run, anything, just to get a bit of joy around the place.
A bit of relief, yeah, 100%. it's very hard to see anything like that, though. You know, Bray had such a serious result there on Friday. It is difficult going up there, but like Bray must be absolutely floating at the minute. I'm going to go 2-0 to Bray.
I'm going to go for a mad. I'm going to chuck in a Harps 1-0, just the magic of the cup and everything else. I don't really know. Scott's going 2-1 to Bray Wanderers there. Pats against Wexford. As I said, I'm doing this for LOI TV Friday, so looking forward to that.
Might spin out to it.
Oh, very good. I wave at you from the gantry.
Surely, like, are Pats going to throw in a weekend team here?
Yeah, you'd probably think so. They played, I know it's an entirely different competition and doesn't really matter a shite. They did lose to Bray in the Leinster Senior Cup recently. Pats had a few first-teamers out on the pitch and Bray made, I think, 8 changes from their usual League 11. So there's a bit of danger of a banana skin here. But Wexford, the way they're going in the First Division, it'd be... Jeez, it would be a bit of an embarrassment for Pats if they were to lose, really.
Yeah, I don't think they can gather it up.
No.
To put in a performance that would take down a Premier Division team.
I'm just trying to think, what does a significantly changed Pats team look like? If I look at the team that took to the pitch against Waterford, and I just look at some of the players that were maybe on the bench and didn't play. So they brought on Bagley, Breslin, Forrester, Nugent, Sam Rooney.
Surely they all start on Friday.
Tom Gravossi didn't play. There's too much quality there, isn't there? I'm going to go for a 3-0 win to St. Pat's.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Pat's.
And Scott's going 3-0 to the Saints. Moving along then, we've got another all First Division tie. That's Treaty United against UCD, who will be bruised after what happened in the Carlisle.
Yeah, I think Treaty are just meeting them at the right wrong time, to be honest.
These two met in a quarter final a few years back, and then Dacoran got a hat-trick. Remember they got to the semis and gave Derry a good game up in the Brandywell?
They did. I remember watching that on the telly. I don't see a repeat of that here. I'm going to go for... 2-0 win to UCD.
I'm going to go for another cup upset. I'm going to go 1-0 to Treaty.
Very good.
Scott going 1-0 to UCD. Waterford against Cove, Munster Derby. Scott going for a 1-1 draw in normal time and Cove to win on penalties.
Say that again to me.
He's going 1-1, Waterford Cove, and he's going Cove to win on spot kicks.
Oh, no. No, no.
Waterford are just flowing at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they have just good, way too much quality.
Good chance to keep the feel good factor going here.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't. I think just on that, like they don't have any time. They don't have any go. You know, a loss in the cup against First Division isn't the worst thing in the world. They don't have the brain space for that. They just have to keep it lit. I'm going to go 2-0 to Waterford.
I will join you on that 2-0 to Waterford. And then we have got just one left, and that's the game at Mount Hawk Park, Kerry against Shelburne FC. John Russell's first game in charge.
Well, he can't have a repeat about the last time he was down in...
Oh, Jesus, is right, yeah. Jesus, yeah, good shout.
Yeah, what was that, 4-3?
Yeah, was it 3-1 up or 3-0 up?
3-0 up and pegged it away.
Oh,
geez, he could be out of a job now. This day next
as I said, you won't get away with that at Shelburne. Kerry made it difficult for Bowes down there a few years ago.
I don't
see it. They're on one of their better, probably their best run of form ever in the First Division.
They are. Probably amongst their highest league position ever as well. I don't really give them a shout, to be honest. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Shells.
I know that pitch is new down there. I still think it's shite. Might play to Shells' strengths. Could be quite scrappy, this. I wouldn't be surprised if Kerry were able to drag this to extra time, to be honest. I'll follow Scott and go 2-1 to Shelburne, though.
Yeah. You just don't want any... Russell can't afford...
Oh, no, you can't start your...
You can't start, like, even going to extra time. Like, even like, we said a few times, what was it, Reynolds was nearly driven into the sea or the ocean down in Kerry the last time. And they won that game. Now, it wasn't penalties, but, like, you know, just don't leave yourself open here. Just get it done. Get it out the hell. And no pricking.
Right, the charity bet could be difficult this week with cup games, but we're going to... actually, I'm not sure if these cup games are priced as of yet, so we might have to leave the charity bet this week. Let me just...
Isn't it a shame how Longford Town were the only team to come good for us last week?
Yeah. Do you want to do World Cup? The cup games aren't priced yet.
Sure, do World Cup.
Yeah, we might as well use our credits. So I'll log you in here. France, Spain, and England, Argentina. Or you could just do an outright bet if you want to back France. It's up to you.
And no, we'll do the two semi-finals. I want to do France after extra time.
Oh, after extra time?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Can I find that? With France to qualify for it, but you want to do them to win in extra time, is it?
Yeah.
France to win in extra time is a massive 8-1.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
And then Argentina to qualify.
Argentina, you said earlier they have no chance.
I know, yeah.
You just can't bring yourself to back England.
You're correct.
Good price, Argentina, as well, 21-20. Funny enough, if I would see that game going to extra time as opposed to the other one. But then at the same...
No, I see France and Spain, you know, just like tipping at each other the whole game. And next, you know, Mbappe just pegs it in, or Elise or someone.
Well, look, the good news is that double is a lovely price. It's over 17-1.
Lock her in.
Lock her in. Okay, that is you in there. I think I'll keep it simple and I will just go for an outright bet on France to win the World Cup. It's not going to return a whole pile, but let me just get the outright betting up here. France, 13-10. I can't do that, can I? Need to be a bit more
13, like, nah.
Need to be a bit more ambitious than that.
Is it something like France to beat England in the final or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I can get England versus France in the final, although that means I would have to shout on England, which I'm not mad about doing. That's 28 quid to the kitty. Is there anything else here? Straight forecast, France, England. That's what I'll go. I'll go for the straight forecast there. So France, England.
Lovely.
And that's 7-2.
All right, okay.
So that'll get us 45 quid for the charity bet. Apologies for all the clicking, everyone. Just trying to log in here and place that before I forget about it. And will I split it into 2 fivers? That way I can't really lose. If I go France, England, France, Spain. Or sorry, France, England, France, Argentina.
Do whatever you want, lad.
Yeah. That's cowardly. No, we'll stick with our opinion here. We'll go France, England. So there we go. That's the charity bets. Thanks to Bar One Betting for sponsoring our charity bet each and every week. As I said, there's no FAI Cup markets up there yet, but they will be up there later in the week. There is World Cup betting, as you can see and as you can hear. So check out Bar One Betting on the Bar One Betting app. Gambling over 18s, always gamble responsibly. See gamblingcare.ie. Right, the hotline before we go, Gary. Let's delve into that. Just give me a second to find it. Here we go. Zaki, fraudly added again in Europe. Maybe they can dust off the enough is enough banners. The only time a team actually challenged them properly for the league in the last number of years, he couldn't win it. Duffer came out on top.
But is that not... Well, what do you say about all the other times he won it? He only won it by default. You know what I mean?
No? I don't really have an opinion. he's obviously not a fan of Stephen Bradley. He's entitled to his opinion, but...
Yeah, he's entitled to his opinion, but like, I get the hate. But like, yeah, I don't think it's. I don't agree.
As I said, I think they'll turn it around on Tuesday. So maybe
we'll get conference group stages is where the League of Ireland is at. Do you know what I mean? That's the size of it, boys.
But if they don't get the group stages, it is a disappointment.
It is a disappointment. Get back to us then, Zaki.
Yeah, we will tweet him a reply tomorrow after Rovers fill in Floriana and Tala.
Yeah.
Patrick, is Gary Riley now serving a ban after invading the pitch solo in Cork, or does he have connections to Trump and got it suspended? I did reply that wasn't you that invaded the pitch, and he said, sorry, just assumed after a few, in commas, tease, that's something he would do.
No, I was spinning. I was driving, so there was no nothing refreshing.
Bar the kebab.
But yeah, it would have been Yeah, which is, it would have been great.
I didn't see the game live, obviously, because I was in Oriel, but when I was watching the highlights then here Saturday morning, when I seen one of the young fellas running out on the pitch, it kind of took me, I was like, this is long for this never happens. I know it's not something we should be condoning, but there kind of was a lovely, spontaneous thing about it. At the same time, so...
I know, it was great. Like,
and to be fair, I will say to the Cork fans, a lot of them online were saying fair play to the Longford fans that travelled. They deserved it. They're with a better team. And it was, I think they could see what it meant to the few supporters that travelled. And from what I understand, that the supporters that went down there were well looked after. I know I had Dermot Usher on to myself saying that he'd look after me if I was down there. Yeah. I didn't get travelling. So thanks to Dermot for that. But yeah, no, the hospitality put on by Cork City was good for the town fans. So it's always nice to hear.
I know it was. Yeah, you know, it's a good setup down there. It's all marshalled and everything like that. But yeah, look, I was happy just to watch it in the stand. You know, it's a bit of you've actually mentioned it a couple of times before. It's not often you can just go to watch a town game.
Yeah,
for us, a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? Well, I can't remember the last time I just watched a home game. Probably, I think the last time I watched a home game was
pre-COVID anyway.
No, remember LOI TV had the first 6 months of...
Oh, yeah, I'll watch LOI or whatever it was.
Yeah. So that was the last time I just got to watch a game as a normal human being. Anytime I go to a away game, it's always just like, do a bit of tweeting or whatever, but that's just the height of it. I chatted to Declan down there. His surname escapes me, but yeah, and he mentioned a few concerns that he has, I could say, about like for next season as well, which is something that we've talked about on the pod. You know, where they, you know, going to progress now, you know, with personnel and stuff like that into the Premier Division. You know, there's a big job on there. He mentioned as well, I think Niall O'Keefe was taken off at halftime, and I noticed that he was getting roasted in the first half, and he went off, but he was playing right back throughout the game, which is a bit odd.
I've seen him play there for Waterford.
Yeah, I know, but like, he's missed in the midfield.
Mm.
You know, he's better. He's a better midfielder than he is a right back, because he was getting absolutely opened throughout the first half. Like, right. So yeah, one good, I know I mentioned it already, but Fitzpatrick obviously got his goal, but he was much better than
that goal he got is a goal of the season contender. It was savage bit of skill.
Oh, Darren Murtagh's goal was way better in that game.
I don't know about that.
Stop the lights, lad.
Fitzpatrick's goal was a brilliant bit of skill. Anyway, look, we'll leave it up to the listeners.
Go away lad, jeez. That's the worst shout on this pod.
Nathan O'Reilly, disappointing result for Kerry, having taken the lead near the end, throwing it away last minute. Halliwack should have done better for the equaliser. I think you kind of suggested that. Borden had a poor performance. He's back to form, so. Tough game coming up against Shelburne. Hopefully we can cause an upset. Pale Rider, Ramblers never got a hold of Lombotto. He tore them apart. They made Brian McManus look like Messi. I know when... I played anybody struggling with a bandage on his knee would have been tested early on, not on Friday. Ramblers continue to play like this. No playoff. That's an interesting tweet. On Lombotto, he tore Longford apart in the first derby of the season over in Athlone. Or was it in Longford? I think it was in Longford.
I just can't really remember.
I think it was the game in Longford. He tore Longford apart. He was very good. Probably hasn't been consistent enough. And McManus... he went off early in one of the games. Could have been the derby in Athlone. Obviously an important player for them, given his experience. So not surprised to hear those two played well, but they probably do need to be that bit more consistent. But as for Cove, yeah, they're not consistent at all themselves. Here's an interesting one from Brian. Are we getting enough from full-time or summer football? I think he's probably referencing European results and... everything that comes with playing summer football. I have to say one thing. I really don't... this will sound miserable. I don't like playing in summer football when the weather is too good and it's a lovely sunny evening and you go out. I feel the atmosphere is a bit flatter around the place. The atmosphere is always better under the lights.
Mm.
I don't think there's any argument there.
I did actually think of something like that the other night. I think I was watching the highlights eating the kebab, and like I was just watching the players like shake hands beforehand, and I think the commentators mentioned something about like the heat. And I was just like, Jesus, like it's like 28 degrees down here. It's absolutely baking. You're like, could we go back? Like you know, as you know, all this global warming comes along.
That's not me saying I want to go back to playing in like October, November.
But what do you want?
Yeah.
You can't. What are you talking about?
Sometimes in this really good weather, I feel everyone's a bit relaxed, a bit chilled. Sometimes you don't get fantastic games. But, let's stick to the point. Are we getting enough from full-time summer football? I suppose we've cracked into Europe in the last number of years on a more semi-regular basis.
But that's been bailed out by Conference League.
I was just going to say that. Has that been helped by the Conference League? It probably most certainly has.
Yeah.
For Summer League, standards of pitches, have they improved significantly? I would say that's an area that still needs massive improvement.
I was on the pitch a while on Friday, and the surface itself is great, but like it's very hilly. Turner's Cross, like it's not flat, like but it is like. Grass is sensational. Like you just lie pitches, down and have a sleep on it. Like
few pitches around the league like that. Different subject. I don't really have an answer for Brian here, to be honest. I think you know we're not going back to winter football anytime soon. I think that's probably the right decision. I know I said this recently on the pod, but again, I was speaking to a Dundalk supporter the other day, and he actually said it before me. He took the words out of my mouth. We're talking about the referee, which I touched on earlier. Everything is improving in this league, aside from the standard of officiating. What's it going to take for that to change? I honestly think there needs to be more investment in the referees, but look, we've gone over that. It is very old ground. Owen, Bray's attack and power is a joy to watch. UCD could not cope with Bray's pace. Akira, Kelly, Sammy Ring, a handful. Big test against Harps Friday. Next step is sorting that away form out and trying to repeat what they do at home. I said Parachute was a good signer for Longford too. Well, I did too. It took him a while to get going, but he's flying now, to be fair. Stephen Clancy, yet another game that's taken Sligo to go one or two down and a man down to kick into gear. It's not good enough. Damn all that could be done for the winner, but should have been kicking on when we got back level. Impossible to know how we get out of this position now, barring a miracle. And that was obviously sent to us before they lost John Russell. It'll be interesting to hear what Stephen makes of that news. Carol, our friend who looks after the Predictions League for us, he just sent us a screenshot of the League of Ireland announcing the new signing at the Brandywell, Dara Burns, joining Derry City. What did you make of that piece of business, Gary Riley?
I really struggle to understand what's going, like what's the
policy, like, the
policy here.
Yeah.
Like it's basically like who went to England. I'm not saying that, but this is how it seems, like who is knocking around at any given point. Like I looked on the Grimsby post announcing it that he had left to join Derry.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, great lad, but okay that he's gone. The one major thing that was in the post was that not very many people were crying that he had left. So, yeah, I'm not overly you know, excited about this, like would you be?
42 League Two appearances last season. They got to the playoffs, one goal.
He scored that goal against United, or he got that assist against United, I think.
He did. Great shout.
Yeah. Well, I only know that because like everybody was like, oh, well, you'll always be remembered for that. And that's all that was said. Like, it seemed like they were kind of like, there was potential there. It never happened. It didn't seem like it was going to happen. Okay that he's gone, if that makes sense.
I suppose he's on the younger end of the scale compared to some of Derry's other previous signings. 23, he's coming back, having played lots of football in England compared to a lot of players coming back that, you know, have been injured or not playing. see how it works out. But as you said, where does he fit into the jigsaw, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, that's it. Like, you know, are they getting rid of any players? Derry? Are they going to get anybody else in? Like, who's going to be a bit of a difference maker for these? Is Dara Burns going to, you know, be a game winner? I'm not positive that that'll be the case. So, I just don't feel it, to be quite honest. But like,
I think he will be a good signing.
Okay, I hope you're right.
Just depends where he plays. Will he play at fullback or will he be higher up the pitch? I mean, they brought Cotter in, and I think we thought at the time, "Jesus, a bit of a panic sign," and he hasn't been good for them at all. Maybe he'll slot in there at fullback somewhere. I don't know. I don't know if we really talked about the Chapman signing. Like, that was a bizarre one.
Oh God, yeah. I've never seen a bunch of people happier that a lad left.
Yeah, honest to God, yeah.
Jesus help us.
Yeah, just the strategy is all over the gaff up at Derry. Jer, the miracle at the cross has to be the result of the weekend.
Yes, absolutely. There is no question about it. Look, I know we talked about it at the start, a bit in the middle, and we're going to talk about it again. But I think a lot of the fans believed. I'm not saying that this is the greatest result ever. It's a, you know, league win in the middle of the season, but I think the fans always thought that the players were capable of results like this, and I think it's good that the players were able to put in that performance and like nearly just show themselves that, yeah, we can actually mix it with teams at the top and we deserve to be in the playoffs. So hopefully the players and staff take that into them and it's like, yeah, we're good enough. We can compete at this at the top end of the table, and the fans appreciate it. So yeah,
100%. Just before we go, actually, Conor McCormick, I think I mentioned it earlier in the show, but we should have talked more about retiring from League of Ireland football, taking up a full time coaching position with the FAI. Good to see people like that staying within the game, but brilliant career he had. One of those players, you absolutely hated him when you came up against him and you called him every name under the sun, but the sort of player when he was really in his prime that you would love to have in the middle of the park, that he was just a rock solid performer. And always left everything out on the pitch.
Yeah, he was a great pro. As you said, rock solid performer, always showed up and never seemed to shy away from anything. You know what I mean? He was never hiding. Always a mark of a great player. So yeah, look, congratulations to him and his career.
Used to get a lot of stick up in Oriel in particular, because of course he's a loud man and never played for Dundalk and was a part of the great Cork City teams of the past. So one ground he mightn't get the warmest of receptions in, but a fantastic career.
A fantastic career, yeah. Hope and he mentioned he was doing a bit of coaching there, like he might just do a bit of part-time ref coaching or something like that. Might help to solve our reffing.
Well, he used the ref games, that's for sure.
Oh, he did indeed. Yeah, we had a few of them down through the years. I was watching one of them there on Friday night, Greg Bulger. where we let him know what we thought. But yeah,
I was talking to another one, Darragh Doyle as well. He was another fan.
Oh, Jesus. He was the greatest disgust on the pitch. Jeez. especially, remember he played a season with Cabo.
Oh, yeah, he was. When you're up there, no fans, no nothing.
No fans, silent. Yeah, exactly. Shut up. Jesus.
Look, you need fellas like that in the game too.
You do, of course. But, I think, you know, it does show, like, you know, some players like that, like, have the longevity, you know, get, you know, coaching opportunities and stuff like that. Like,
not as many of them in the game anymore, is there?
What do you mean, players that have gone off to do coaching?
But players that like that can kind of, I don't want to say manipulate a referee, but maybe know how to play the system a little bit. Talkers, but it's just like a lot of players now, younger players coming up, very samey, aren't they? Personality wise on the pitch.
No, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I do get.
I definitely feel like there's less characters around the league. You know, your Keith Wards, your Ryan Brennan's, boys that love nothing more than to get a bit of jib and give it back.
Roar something at Wardy last year in Oriel?
I didn't. He was over like our side. I think we were getting battered like 4-0 at the time. And I think I just got frustrated. And I might have said something like to you. I was like, Jesus Christ, the fella's nearly 40. Will someone close him down? And he roared up, I'm 42 or something. Oh, like that.
Yeah. Bit of jiving like that is always good.
Yeah, definitely.
But I suppose, like, it's gone. Everything's gone different. Do you know what I mean? Like we're probably old school in a way, even though we're...
Someone called me Unk the other day.
Right.
it hurt. Cut deep.
I think the point is, though, like you know, if Wardy abused the life out of us, in that example, we'd have just loved it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We wouldn't be going, oh, keep Ward. He was mean to me. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, yeah, you can just dish out abuse to anybody and everybody, but like, we would have got great crack out of that. And like, Wardy wouldn't have been abusive. He would have had, as you mentioned, like, he would have had a great quip. You know what I mean? There was a good bit of wit. I think one of the things that we've been talking about for a few years, so it's kind of the same thing with managers to a degree. They're all doing the same courses. They're all mates. They're all, you know, on top of each other. So like always, well, pal, what's the crack? Great to see you. Oh, do you want tea? Like, you know, no one's a prick anymore.
Mm.
And, you know, that we've been calling for a lot more hate in the league. Well, I have been anyway, and I'd stand by that. You know, a lot more jibing. Like, you know, we kind of had it with, wasn't it? What's his name? Reynolds and Duffer that time, Duffer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like that's the type of stuff we're all looking forward to. That's the type of stuff we all want. Like, we want the Bows manager and the Shells manager to hate each other.
100%.
That is beneficial for everybody. There is no losers in that hatred. You know what I mean?
So it
will be nice to kind of get a bit more raspiness to a degree.
Well, look, on that note, if people want to send us a bit of stick, you can get us on Twitter. You can leave a comment on our Spotify page. And for longer correspondence, you can email us betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. Forgive me, it's getting late here, but that's where we'll wrap up the show for this week. As ever, make sure you're subscribed or following us on Spotify or Apple, wherever you're listening. Leave us a rating and review. And as ever, thanks to our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, light, and AV solutions. And thanks to Bar One Betting, our charity bet sponsors. But for this week, from Kieran Burke and from Gary Riley, that was Series 10, Episode 23 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Enjoy the Cup weekend. Enjoy the World Cup final. And we will chew the fat of it all next week. See you then.
We really hope you're enjoying this week's episode. Feel free to show your support by leaving a rating or review wherever you're listening. You can also support the show by buying us a virtual beer or coffee via buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, where you can also join our members club for all the latest exclusive BTS content.